Okay, let's go, as we promised, to the Middle East to focus on a Middle East news update. Longtime journalist in Jerusalem, David Dolan, is going to assist us in doing that. He stays on top of everything that's happening in the Middle East. But David, I want to start with an issue that is not really in the Middle East, howbeit it is one of the leaders of the Middle East, Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel. He's gone to Davos, which is the location where supposedly all the elite get together to reshape this world. It's an economic forum, and there the leaders of the world are gathered. Netanyahu had the opportunity to address all the delegates. He made a statement that Israel is not what's wrong in the Middle East, it's what's right. Boy, that's the truth, but can he convince everybody that that is the case?
Well, Jimmy, he made a very strong economic argument for that case, since it was, as you stated, the World Economic Forum there in Switzerland, so that was the main theme of the conference, and he more or less stuck to that, pointing out that the Israeli economy is vastly stronger than all of its neighbors combined, its Arab neighbors combined, that would be Jordan, Egypt, Lebanon, and Syria. Of course, Syria in the midst of a war that's destroying not only its economy, its school system, its security systems, pretty much everything. You know, he just stated, we are the startup nation, and we're very industrious, and we, you know, he just gave some statistics of what the Israeli economy has produced and what the Israeli people have done. A small country of 8 million people with a GNP that's four times as large as all of its neighbors combined. You know, he made that point. Hopefully that alone would be enough to convince some of the skeptics listening to him that Israel is a stable democracy in a sea of instability. And, you know, he said we can be trusted. We are good business partners. He mentioned that trade has now expanded to China and India in recent years from Israel, quite a bit of trade, actually. He didn't talk about the weapons sales, but Israel's now become one of the world's leaders in drone aircraft sales all around the world and various other things. So that was the case he made, and I thought it was a pretty convincing one.
Yes, it certainly was. I agree with you. At the same time, President Rouhani of Iran was there. I do not believe the men got together. Howbeit, Prime Minister Netanyahu had said earlier that if Rouhani would recognize Israel's right to be a state in the Middle East, that he may have a conversation with him. I don't think that either way has happened yet. But at the same time, there's a poll out in Israel, because even though the prime minister is dealing with economics there in Switzerland, the military concern of an attack by Iran is still uttermost on everybody's mind. And I see this poll saying that two out of every three, 66% of all the Israelis believe that President Obama is going to allow Iran to go nuclear. Now, this is of much concern to the Israelis, isn't it?
Well, very much so. And that is certainly the conclusion that the Iranians have drawn from the accord that they signed up last November, as they've been making clear. Their interpretation of it is that it sanctions Iran's uranium enrichment program, even though it limits it to just 5% enrichment as opposed to 20% that they were doing. And they're supposed to destroy the stockpile of higher enriched uranium, which, Jimmy, it just takes, the scientists say, weeks to enrich it up to 95%. Once it gets to the 20% threshold, that's an important threshold. It's just a swift run to what is required for a nuclear bomb. And the Iranians have made clear they're not going to destroy the centrifuges. They are going to destroy the existing stockpile, but they reserve the right to once again enrich it up to 20%, they're saying. So they have a whole different view of this accord than the Americans do, the White House and others. Of course, the White House spokesman saying that's just for Iranian domestic consumption. They're making hardline statements. But that's not good enough for Prime Minister Netanyahu. Again, this is a country that vows to destroy Israel. He reminded everybody at the Davos conference that Israel has no beef against Iran per se, that Iran started this whole conflict decades ago after the Muslim mullahs took over, the Ayatollahs took over the government there in 1979. They came after Israel, not the other way around, and he said we would like nothing more than a peaceful resolution of this problem that we hope, in other words, this accord's going to work. But skeptical? Yes, to say the very least, and particularly as the Iranians are saying they still reserve the right to enrich uranium and will continue to do so even after the accord ends. Well, Israel's bottom line is all of those centrifuges must be removed or destroyed, period. And they're going to stick to that, and if an agreement doesn't do it, then military action probably will. But it looks like now that would be postponed.
David, give me some insight, if you have it here. You mentioned that it was in 1979 when the Ayatollah Khomeini came back into Iran after the fall of the Shah. And, of course, that was the time when the Iranian young people, led by Ahmadinejad, who was president for, of course, the last 8 years, that's when they turned against Israel. What was it? Is it something that's within Islam to wipe out the Jewish state? Is that what caused all this to begin in 79?
Well, of course, it's a Shiite Muslim state, which is the minority wing of the Islamic faith. It's always struggled against the Sunni majority. There's been bloody wars over the centuries in many locations, Iraq, in Arabia, in the Middle East, throughout the Middle East, North Africa, between Sunni and Shia Muslims, and of course, a growing struggle right now with the war in Syria turning into a major battleground between the Shiite forces that support Assad and the Sunnis that want to see him out. This is a regional situation. In Iran, the new Iranian Islamic leaders apparently just saw a way to rally their troops, as it were, rally their people by attacking Israel. And, of course, hatred for the Jews is in the Quran. I'm sorry to say it. Some people say, no, it's not there, but you can find the verses, and I've quoted them in one of my books, and others have as well, that call upon a jihad against Jews and, of course, all non-Muslims, really, until the end of time, until Islam rules the world. And they say, oh, well, this jihad isn't necessarily an actual war. It can be just a political struggle or whatever. But at any rate, they are against Judaism and the Jewish people, Christians and Christianity, and have made attacking Israel their central hallmark, a rallying cry as they gain strength in the region. And Jimmy, they just announced, the Iranians did, that they are now sending some of their warships into the Atlantic Ocean. Well, the Atlantic Ocean happens to be the coast that is off of our east, the United States East Coast. It's the ocean right there. So they are expanding their military power to the shores of America, basically what they're saying, the East Coast of America, a very dangerous thing, and boy, if this nuclear program doesn't get fully halted, the Israelis are going to do it, and it would be to everybody's benefit, just as Israel's earlier destruction of Saddam's nuclear reactor in 1981 ultimately aided the entire region.
Now, you were talking about jihad. Interestingly, this week, a minister in the Palestinian Authority made the statement that jihad should not be directed towards Syria, but instead towards Jerusalem. And that's a part of what you're saying.
Well, that's right. And they, this is a unifying rallying cry that Sunni Muslims and Shia Muslims can agree on. It's one of the few things, frankly, that they do agree on, but their hatred for Israel and the Jewish people, it's ingrained into their, their minds as young people through the talks, the sermons they hear in the mosque and this sort of thing, and reading the Quran. Of course, not every Muslim's walking around hating Israel by any means, but it certainly is generally the case, and it's easy for Muslims, be they Palestinians, Syrians, Egyptians, Kuwaitis, whatever, to stir up this hatred against the Jewish people if they want to, and certainly that's exactly what Iran wants to do, and now we see some Palestinian Sunni Muslims echoing that. But then again, what did Yasser Arafat say? So this has been going on a long time.
And this is only going to intensify, is it not?
Well, according to the scriptures, it is, and really, just as a journalist working in the Middle East for over three decades, I can see that the trend is certainly for it escalating, because it's been exactly doing that since I arrived in 1980, just months after Ayatollah Khomeini came to power.
David Dolan, he's the man who covers the Middle East for us. You understand, if you've been eavesdropping on this conversation, why, we do everything we possibly can to make sure we have David behind these microphones. Great analysis, David, and of course, from your experience over the years, that's how you can bring this to the table. Thank you so much, David. We'll talk again next week.
You're welcome, Jimmy. God bless.